Let's bring in Ian McIntyre, courtesy of Sportsnet, into the conversation. iMac, always a pleasure chatting with you, sir. How's summer been so far for you?
It's been excellent. Last couple of weeks have been a little bit busy, but I was, have to say, cheered up. I'm actually in my car, but I pulled over safely to the side of the road, cheered up to hear Jimi Hendrix.
It was
all
for
along
you.
The Watchtower. I appreciate that. Makes me feel at home, and I can answer your question about Louis Erickson. No, he won't be part of the organization after this contract expires.
Yes. Very
He's
good.
He's going to be 6 and done.
Yeah.
Or 36 and done, as the case may be. It is, it's getting heavier all the time to carry. You know, it was a mistake that didn't really matter that much. It mattered more to, I think, the hockey ops reputation and than anything else the first couple of years. But it's becoming more onerous as time goes on. And I've been listening a little bit to your conversation, and I just don't think there's an easy way out of this. And the only good thing about Louis Erickson's situation is that he can still play. Now, he can play on your fourth line. He's like a fourth line plus guy now, right? He plays on the fourth line. He can kill penalties, and he does kill penalties well. You'd like to be paying those guys about $1 million.
Yeah.
Or if they're entry level, less than that. Instead, they've got a $6 million cap hit. So that's a big problem. I don't think there's a way out of it for them. It's possible they could send him to the minors. I don't see them doing that, at least yet. And it's also possible that they could trade him. But the only way to trade him, since almost everybody is now up against the cap, there's a few teams, really the only way to trade him is you take back somebody else's, Louis Erickson. And maybe that will happen, but you better be awfully careful about that, because Louis at least can still play on your fourth line. Some of the other contracts around the league of guys, they're having trouble playing at all right now. So it's definitely not a good situation.
Yeah, and I do wonder, for a team that's, you know, put a big emphasis on culture and getting things right in the room, and we know that they've brought in guys to help that through these rebuilding years. We know Louis's not happy. How does that affect things off the ice for this team? I think that's also a question mark when you're debating the merits of potentially buying him out right now.
Yeah. Well, there's degrees of unhappiness, and we don't know how unhappy Louis is, but there are also degrees of discontentment, and I think the two things are a little bit different. And I think Louis is a good enough pro that he's not going to affect the people around him. But let's face it, it's reached a point where it would be healthier for both sides if they could move on. It'd be healthier if there was a team that wanted to take Louis Erickson and could set aside his $6 million cap hit and just say he's a veteran player who still does some things well and can help us in certain ways. That would be better for Erickson. As we've talked about, for obvious reasons, it would be better for the Canucks to move on. But again, I don't see that happening soon, and I do think that Louis is a good enough pro that he'll be able to come in and at training camp and, you know, not bring a black cloud with him and not affect the young guys who are still getting better.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the way I see it too, Ian. I mean, the best case would be to move him. It's very difficult to do right now. And even guys like James Neal and Milan Lucic, do you want the extra year on the books just to make that swap? And that's what makes it difficult to even make those one-for-one moves for Neal or Milan Lucic.
And there are, I mean, Brent Seabrook, look how much term he has left. Andrew Ladd, can he keep up anymore? So, yeah, that's why I say the deal of trading a bad contract for a bad contract, it could always be worse, right?
Yeah.
The contract could be worse, but there'll certainly be relief when they do get out from under this one. It just looks like it's going to be a while yet.
Yeah, maybe next year when it's 2 years left and some things change, who knows? But as it stands, not an easy solution around Louis Erickson's situation, Ian. And I know the Canucks are trying to make other moves to clear some salary. Hasn't been easy to do either because Chris Tannen, we know his injury history, and maybe he's worth just holding on to him if you're not getting good value. And Brandon Sutter, well, he's got to be healthy. So if you're looking at Jim trying to be creative to create some space here, what can he do? Because he said he's going to be looking at that trade market now that we're a few days away from July 1st.
Yeah, well, he hasn't got much wriggle room, so he's going to be bargain shopping, which I think is really what the trade market is. Once you get past the first frenzied days of free agency, you're looking for bargains. I think that they will look seriously once the season is underway at what they can do with Brandon Sutter and what a taker for Brandon Sutter would be willing to give up in return, what it would cost the Canucks to make that move. Because I do think that Brandon Sutter is a player that that would have interest from some teams, but probably not at the full couple of years left at 4.5. And I do think that because Tanev is on an expiring contract, when the deadline comes, they'll make a decision and they'll see what's there, and they'll also by then have a better idea about Olli Juolevi and a better idea about Quinn Hughes and Troy Stetcher. And I think that it's quite possible we would see a Tanev trade during the season. But those two things, the way I've laid them out, that obviously doesn't help them for the start of the season in October. You know, that's cap space that you might create for next season more than anything. So they really don't have much they can do if they're not willing to put Louis in the minors. And again, I don't see that happening at 3 years left with a cap hit of $6 million. You know, there's Tim Schaller, I think, is a guy who probably is on the bubble, and I half expected when the Spooner buyout was announced that, you know, maybe Schaller would be in line with the same treatment at some point, but certainly he's a guy that they could put in the minors. But now you're talking about a cap hit of $1.9 million. By the time you pay the penalty for stashing a player in the minors, you're not saving all that much. So whatever Benning is going to try to do, it's going to be from the bargain aisle. And I think, you know, as far as impactful acquisitions, we've probably seen all we're going to see for this season upcoming.
Do you think pairing Chris Tanev with Quinn Hughes can maybe, you know, re-energize his career a little bit?
Yeah, and I don't think there's really, I mean, Tanev, we've seen a decline. The biggest problem with Chris Tanev is just that he keeps getting hurt. And I think most people recognize that when he's healthy, still does a lot of things well. Maybe not quite at the level he was a couple of years ago, but still helps you defensively, helps you get out of your own zone. So I think for sure he can be a steadying influence and a teacher for Quinn Hughes. And the reason that Chris Tanev hasn't been traded, and I know that there's a possibility that the Canucks could have traded him at any point, really in the last 3 years they could have traded him, is that they just value what he gives to their team. And it's not only on the ice, it is as kind of a role model and a guy who can help younger players come along. But the other half of that question, of course, is what they would be offered in return. And if they'd had an offer that knocked their socks off, they would have made a deal by now. And I think they'll keep looking. And if a good offer comes along, I think it's quite possible that Chris Tanev will be moved. But until that, they're not going to give him away. You're not going to give away Chris Tanev for a fifth-round pick. So until that offer comes, and maybe it won't, he'll hopefully be healthy, and he definitely will be helping the young players on this team.
There's been a lot of talk about expectations for Quinn Hughes. You don't want to put too much on a young player, especially a rookie defenseman, but what is the hope for Quinn Hughes? Because I would imagine it has to be high if the team wants to make the playoff.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dan, you made a point last hour. I think it was, no, sorry, last segment about,
right,
for all the talk about the new guys, it's the improvement from within within these really good young players that they've got now that is going to determine as much as anything whether they're a playoff team. And I agree with that. And I think the expectations for Quinn Hughes are high. I don't think you're going to hear them stated that way by the hockey club. But I would think he's going to be playing 20 minutes, 20-plus minutes from the start. And some games, he, you know, maybe not in October, but certainly by mid-season, he could be leading the defenseman in ice time some nights because he's going to get a ton on the power play. I think we're going to see more of Hughes, less of Edler. We'll see more of Tyler Myers now on the power play. But I think that Quinn Hughes is going to be a big-minute guy. And whether they call him first pairing, second pairing, that doesn't really matter. He's going to be playing a lot. He's going to be, especially on the power play and in offensive situations, being relied on to help them. And I think he will. But it's a lot to ask for a guy who's played five NHL games and doesn't turn 20 mm-hmm. until the season starts.
We all have high hopes for Quinn Hughes, and we certainly expect him to be good, but you also have to manage expectations and be realistic with what he can do as a rookie defenseman. But at the same time, you look at that defense overall, and last year, Ian, I mean, we spent so much time watching this team in person, and we, you know, kind of be like, wow, this is arguably the worst defense in the NHL. And now overall, this should be around average. And not having massive holes defensively with players like Pouliot and Gudbranson, who struggled a lot here in Vancouver, how big of a difference does it make to not have guys who drag your team down significantly playing some minutes on that back end?
Well, I really think their top six is a lot better. And I don't think there is a weak player in that group anymore. I think you could see a situation where some games, the sixth guy, if you're going to call him Jordy Benn, is playing 18 minutes. And the first guy, if you're going to call him Alex Edler, or who knows, maybe it'll be Tyler Myers, or maybe it'll be Quinn Hughes, are not more than 22. So I think it's a far more solid group of six. But the big asterisk is two of those six are guys who have been chronically hurt. Mm-hmm. And can Edler and Tanev stay healthy? And if they can't, is Oscar Fantenberg, is he better than Michael Delzotto? And it's easy right now to say, oh yeah, of course he'd be better than Michael Delzotto. Remember, Delzotto was the seventh guy when last season started, and essentially when they were healthy, remained that way, which is why he was traded in the end. They don't have the depth. They've talked about improving the depth, but their resources went to getting Miller and getting Myers. And Fantenberg, who knows? Oluyulevi, as I've said many times, is a huge wild card. And if I think he'll probably start the season in Utica, but if he has a good fall, he could be in the NHL by midseason. That's a huge plus for the Canucks and for the defense group if he is ready to play in the NHL. Because the fear I have with this group, although the first six give me a lot of confidence now, but the fear I have is that if Tanev or Edler or anybody else gets injured, what is it going to look like again when they start to get down to number 7 and 8?
Well, that's when your internal improvements need to be made with those young players, like you mentioned, Ulevi, whether it's Ashton Sautner, Brogan Rafferty. These guys have to be able to be at least average contributors for you not to take a huge hit when they do play for you due to injuries. Ian, always a pleasure chatting with you. We'll let you get back on the road again. We appreciate your insight. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and I'm sure we'll have some news to talk about again very soon.
Well, let's hope so. It'll be an awfully long summer.
Yes. We're going to see Brock Besser. He's going to sign his extension at some point.
Yeah, call me anytime.
All right, we'll
break up the monotony.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, iMac.